Hallelujah. We have enjoyed our time here. Many of you didn't make it out since we've been here since Thursday night, Thursday and Friday. But we have had a wonderful time. I do want to encourage you to get the CDs and the tapes that are available to you from this time as we gear up for change and increase. Hallelujah. We also have, before we begin the scripture, CDs in the back, two of which, let me just take a moment to just tell you a little bit about. One is called Going to Your Wealthy Place, which was ministered in Zimbabwe in Africa, and God blessed tremendously. It has all of the nuts and bolts concerning believing God for your blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. The other one is one of our latest ones, which we did not have when we were here last. It's called The Tithe. It goes into the details of what God said, because the promise to the tither is that you would have so much blessing that you would pray, God, slow down. Amen. I don't have enough room. I do want to say to the parents, from observing the teens, you all have done a wonderful job. Amen. That y'all have done a great job. I see so much potential, hallelujah, in this church, because the church is the lifeblood. The youth are the lifeblood of the church. Amen. A person decides in just a matter of moments whether they want to go to a church or not. And parents are concerned that their young people are going to get nourished properly in order to become fruitful and what God would have them to be. Amen. So it makes a difference as we honor our youth today. The message is simply this: if I had known then what I know now, I wish someone had taken the time to do for me as you all have. I went to a traditional church where we sat on the front row and got pinched. Hallelujah. And when I was coming up, time out wasn't standing in the corner. Time out was the length of time we were passed out when we have evolved. We have grown. And we're learning. The word says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now, verse 1, thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let's move down to verse 13 and hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I just have a few words for the youth. Number one, learn to bless God right now. Don't wait till you're old. Learn how to be thankful unto God for what he has done. One of the major keys of overcoming depression is thanksgiving. When you thank God for how good you have it. When you see the children and the devastation that is going on in Haiti right now, we need to learn how to thank God right now. And I just want to add this right at the beginning of this message. This is not just for the young folk. It's also for us that are young at heart. Hallelujah. Learn how to bless God now. Nothing can get you out of depression quicker than a praise. When you learn how to give God the glory and begin to thank him for the good things that are going on in your life. Number two is a secret that I learned later on in life, and I wish I had known then what I know now. But I found out in Psalm 41 that if I bless the poor, hallelujah, and I'm teaching my children. I've got a 10-year-old, hallelujah, and an 8-year-old, praise God. And I'm teaching them to do several things. One thing that I'm teaching my children is take care of your bicycles so you can pass them on to someone else that may not be able to afford a bicycle. Learn how to bless the poor now. For the promise is, blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Perhaps I should have really started with, learn how to honor your father and mother right now. Because that's the key to long life. Amen. The word says that's the first commandment with promise. But it would not be fair to just address the children in this area. I need to talk to the parents for just a moment and let you know something that, you know, sometimes we feel like we can talk to our children any kind of way. And we don't realize that our blessing is attached to it. Because the word of God says that they have angels that are always beholding the face of the Lord. And the New Testament tells us that it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the midst of the sea. So I want to let you know something. I found out from my studies and experience, because I was the second black person to graduate from the Patty International School of Diving. And as a diving instructor, one of the things I learned is simply this, that if a millstone, which is bigger than you, it is used to crush corn and other crops into flour and meal. Hallelujah. That if you were cast into the midst of the sea with a millstone around your neck, you would not get to drown. You would be crushed first by the pressure that would take place. Oh, y'all not saying much. So we need to learn how to repent even to our children when we don't speak to them as we should. I wish I could get somebody to say, because I want to be blessed. Hallelujah. I want my children to be blessed. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking about regular correction. I'm talking about when you're so angry. Come on. And I found out sometimes it's best to just let it go for right now until you can collect yourself and then do what God tells you in the word to do. Hello, y'all still love me. How many of y'all want to live long and prosper? Hallelujah. I want to say to the youth this, learn to give right now. Because giving proves your love. Giving puts you in position to be blessed. You don't have to do drugs to have the bling. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. There's some written promises in the word of God that says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. But I want to let the young people know that if you don't let it go, it can't come back in. Hallelujah. Stevie Wonder wrote a song one time, and it said that, you know, mama give you money to put in Sunday school, but then you used it for something else. But I want to tell you now to give, and God will bless you. God gave me a revelation in Haiti when I was giving to the poor. And the revelation came, and I shared with some of you the story, but for the youth, I want to share it with you. I was there in Port-au-Prince, Haiti years ago. And several miracles took place, and I haven't shared all of this with you, but one of the miracles took place was the fact that I had purchased some shoes. And I got all of these shoes, brand new Keds, that had Snoopy's picture on it. And the thing that happened is this, because I used to work for a shoe company, and when I had a whole suitcase full of shoes, I don't know how many pairs, I had a whole, almost a trunk full that they allowed me to bring over there, and I started putting shoes on the feet of these little children. And then I noticed that every time I put on a pair, it always fit. And I thought, that's so unusual. So I said, well, I'm going to really see, is this God or is this coincidence? So Brother Brooks, instead of looking at the shoes and looking at the feet, because I was pretty good at that, I would just reach in the thing without looking and pick up a pair. And it still worked. Every time I gave a pair of shoes a fit with just enough room to grow. God loves young people. I wish I had a witness here in the house. Now, learn to give right now. And here's the next thing, because if you really want to prosper, you need to learn how to avoid talking bad about your friends. And this is something that the young folks need to learn now. But some of us that really want God to bless your life, the Bible says that in the two wealthiest folks that I know of in the Bible, in Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. So I learned three things. I could not listen to everything that's going on. If you want to prosper, because one of my heart's desires is to be a good man. And the Bible says a good man leaveth an inheritance, not just for his children. Hallelujah. But for his grandchildren, his children's children. How many of y'all want to be good to your children? Well, you can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. One of the things I learned that the counsel of the ungodly is all of the bad news that's going on. You can't listen to talk about recession and not having enough and not let it affect you, because I want to remind you that you are in the world, but you are not of it. You are an alien. This is not even your home planet. Heaven is your home. You are passing through here. I hope I have somebody that's born again that know what I'm talking about. You're passing through here, and what you do here determines where you're going to spend the rest of eternity. Hallelujah. You can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or do what sinners do. You know, in school, sometimes, you know, children are pressured to be like everybody else. But I want to let you know that as a Christian person, you are better than that. Hallelujah. Young people, touch somebody and tell them you're better than that. Just tell them you're better than that. You don't have to get involved in the games. Hallelujah. You can be a leader and not a follower. Hallelujah. Because Christ is in you, that makes you better than that. One more time, tell your friend that you're better than that. Now, it says the third position here, first one is walking, the second one is standing, but the third one is sitting. If you are comfortable talking bad about other folk, you are not going to walk in the blessing. And I wish I had known then Proverbs 1 says this. Down here, as we move down, it says, and I believe the one that wrote Psalm know a little bit of something about blessing. It says in verse 22, and I love this because I'm a native Texan and I was born and raised in Dallas. And my favorite version of the Bible is the King James Version. But let me read this out of King James. And then let me give you the Texas version. Proverbs 1:22 says this. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Here's the Texas translation. Hey, stupid. How long are you going to stay stupid? And delight in talking bad about folks and don't want to learn any better. You need to make up your mind that if you're going to prosper, young people, if every time you're tempted to say something bad about somebody, think about the kind of car you would like to drive. Think about the kind of house you would like to live in. And make a decision. I'm not going to get involved in that conversation. If you can't say something good, oh, I wish I had known then what I know now. And then another thing that I want to remind you of is this. Learn how to praise right now. One of the reasons is praises prosper. Oh, you know the story when when the army had come against, hallelujah, Jehoshaphat, and they were outnumbered, no way to win the fight in the natural. God said, instead of putting your archers and your swordsmen in front, put the praisers out front and let them praise the Lord. And as they began to praise, it brought confusion to the enemy's camp. Because you that know the story understand that the enemy had tried to defeat them in the past alone and could not do it. So they all joined together. Now, all of them didn't even like each other, but that was the only way they felt that they could defeat the armies of the living God, is to band together. But when they began to praise, confusion came to the enemy's camp, and they began to praise God. And one group looked at the other one and said, you know, I don't like that. And they'll say, what's wrong with you? And then they began to all fight among themselves, and they just kept praising God and let them kill each other. But that's not the end of the story. When the last one had killed the last one, it took them 3 days to gather all the riches. So I just want to remind you one more time, young people, if you will learn to stay in church where you can learn how to praise. I love these young musicians. I love the fact that they know how to get down there. And I'm so glad that New Light is not have them stuck in some, you know, traditional thing, because you got to stay where we are. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Learn to praise. Oh, I wish I had known then what I know now. In the book of Numbers, chapter 23, there's another precept that I want to mention to the young people that I didn't learn growing up. Even the church that I was in didn't understand this, because when we were taught to shout, we called it dancing. But there is something about a shout that I mentioned just recently, and I want to remind you today that shouting pierces the heavenlies. When you shout, it's not this. That's dancing. But when you open your mouth and proclaim, the Bible says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Shouting causes adrenaline to come up in your body, and it gives you power, and it gives you even physical might. Do I have a witness in the house? That when you shout, it makes a difference. And I read in the Word that when you shout, God shouts. God loves shouting so much that the Bible says God has gone up with a shout. And then I read another place that said God shall descend with a shout. And if you shout, you can pierce the heavenlies. Stuff may not be going right in your life, but if you learn how to shout unto God, you will find out that things will begin to change in the realm of the spirit. Those angels that I told you that you have will begin to move on your behalf and start turning the situation around. Some parents don't believe it, but I want to let you know there are some teachers that don't like you. You know, we refuse to believe that, but I guarantee you, because the spirit that's in your child is against the spirit that's in that teacher. And a lot of times they don't know why they mean to your child, but your child is born again. Your child has the spirit of the living God, and your child has the benefit of the covenant. Oh, don't you understand? Because you are born again. He said, I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed. Hallelujah. And I stop by to remind you, parents, don't quit praying for your child. I was 16 years old in the nightclub. But I had a mama that wouldn't quit praying for me. I'm on stage now. About to go on playing for the Dells. I had on my hat. I had on my shades. I didn't want you to see my eyes. Because my friends kept me high. But I want to let you know something. Marijuana will get you high. But young people, let me tell you something. Mary's baby will get you higher. Oh, I have tried the king of beers. But the king of kings is so much better. When God walked in, the Budweiser and the marijuana quit working. And the Holy Ghost came upon me sitting on the organ. And it felt like my eyes came open. As if scales fell from my eyes. And I looked around and said, what am I doing here? And just like the songwriter said, I went to a meeting one night. And my heart wasn't right, but something. And at 16 years old, I had my own apartment. I had graduated from St. Peter Academy, which was a think tank for smart children. And I played in these clubs and I made all this money. And when I went to let mama in from the meeting, because I was going on to my apartment, I turned to say something to mama and it did not come out in English. And I had never done that before, but and I went to say something else and it came out. And I said, it scared me. But I guarantee you, parents, if you keep praying, don't give up. Well, I wish I had known then what I know now. Now, I guess I should have read the scripture that deals with the shout, because I want to let you know something. Even in the midst of witchcraft, when you shout, let me read this. That was a warlock in verse 19 of Numbers 23 that had been given the job of cursing God's people. But now he said this, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. You paid me to curse him, but God's commanded me to bless him. And he hath blessed and I cannot reverse it. First of all, because they're living right. Oh, I want to let you know something, parents. If you live right, God will bless you and your children. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. And I like this part. And the shout, not of the king, but the shout of a king is among them. And I stopped by New Life this morning as I'm privileged to speak to the youth to let you know that you are a king and a priest unto God. And when a king opens his mouth, stuff starts happening. Isn't it good to know you got some little kings over here? The shout of a king is among them. So when you see your children going down the wrong road, I dare you to shout unto God as a king and a priest. I wish I had known then what I know now. And then young people, one of the advantages of being young is how you look. Come on now. But being born again says he'll beautify the meek with salvation. You get better looking when you get born again. But now, oh, you don't believe me? Go pull out some of those pictures of how you used to look. You were younger then, but you look better now. Or go to a reunion and meet some of your buddies that's your age. And they didn't turn to God. They turned to the bottle. They turned to drugs. They turned to other stuff. And look what they look like now. But this is the point that I want to express to the youth here. Learn how not to worry now. Because it's going to make you look a whole lot better when you get older. Worry is the key to the trouble. It's the down payment on the trouble that hadn't happened yet. If you're going to prosper, if you're going to be blessed, you got to learn how to avoid worry. Worry pulls up your seed. And isn't it true that worry encompasses several areas, but the three major ones are your health, your body, your money, and your children. Come on, somebody. So if you will avoid worry, how do I do that? When the devil tells you, I'm going to kill your child, open up your mouth and say, no, it is written. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Because you know what I found out about children is this. If you got more than one, there'll always be one that'll keep you praying. Learn to overcome worry now. Oh, I wish I had known then what I know now. Philippians chapter 4. Look, if you will, at verse 6. Be careful, anxious, worried for nothing, but in everything. You know, they said we was upset when they took prayer out of schools, but as long as there are tests, there'll always be prayer in school. The songwriter said, don't worry, be happy. The word says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. The end result says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, even your own understanding. Come on, somebody. If you learn not to worry, you won't even know why you got so much peace. All this stuff is coming against you, but you got this silly grin on your face because you learn how to cast your cares. I know I got one fisherman in here, but do I have anybody else that know how to do some casting? That means swing that thing away from you as far as you can get it. Because when the enemy comes against your mind, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, I wish I had known when I was your age that I don't really have to worry. I can give it to God and he will fix it. The songwriter said, why are you trying to work it out? And then Job 3:25 says, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. If you worry about it, the next thing is going to happen is, because it gets in your heart in abundance, it's coming out of your mouth. It does not mean you don't have difficult situations, but what I've learned to do, even with my children, is when things come against us, I gather them around and say, look, you see this? This is a bill. We don't know how we're going to do this, but the God we serve is able. They learn that from little children. And now, praise God, they learn, praise God, that when things come against you, instead of worrying, learn how to thank God, because everything is going to be all right. God will make a way. Since we've been practicing that, we seldom have to believe for to get out of trouble. God just keep you out. Here's the next thing. Learn now, young people, how to call for your crops. Let me explain what I mean. When you give, you are sowing. When you give to your friends, you are giving. And the Bible teaches that if you give, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But now understand something. Crops have to be reaped. That's right. Hallelujah. Let me share with them the revelation that I started to share about Haiti. Not only did the shoes fit, but my interpreter said to me something. He said, Brother Gray, he says, I have two brothers in an orphanage. It took place after a miracle took place. Because the greatest miracle that this ministry has ever seen had nothing to do with an adult, but it dealt with a baby. There was a man, when we had started bringing food out to the village, we loaded up our station wagon. I just want to share this with them. We loaded up our station wagon with bags of food, and the taxi driver said, Brother Gray, if you really want to help the people, he said, you need to get out of Port-au-Prince and go into those villages where they really need the help. And I said, let's do it. So the word says, a feast is made for laughter and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. And we had money, and we began to buy more food in the marketplace. And as we bought the food and we put it in the bags and we loaded up the taxi, we went out to the village, and the people were there washing their clothes and washing their bodies down in the riverbank. And when they found out that the food was free, they almost turned the cab over trying to get to it. But one man did not come up to get food, but he stayed down in the riverbank and just stared at me. Now, while the driver and my interpreter are giving out food, I'm watching the guy, because the number one religion when I was there was voodoo. And so he's got my attention. And then he ran up the side of the hill, and instead of coming to get food, he went into his hut. And when he did, he came out with this package. He had a dirty piece of army blanket. And he had it, the blanket, in his hand, and he walked toward me. And when the people saw him, they moved out of the way, and he was holding it like this. And he came up to me, and I looked at him, and tears was running down his face. And then I saw the blanket move. And so I peeled back the cover, and it was a baby full of leprosy with open sores, blood and pus around it. The sores were 3 and 4 inches big, and the skin was open all over this little baby's body. And even though leprosy is very contagious, I didn't think about it. I just reached over, and I laid my hands on the child, and all I got to say was, in the name of Jesus. And when I said that name, the skin began to get smooth, and the sores began to shrink and come together. And God healed the child right in front of our eyes. I sat down because I was so overcome. They still getting food. My interpreter tapped me on the shoulder and said, Brother Gray, would you save a couple of those bags for my brothers? I said, sure I will. Where are they? He said, they're in an orphanage in Del Mas 42. And I looked at him and I said, John, what do you mean an orphanage? You talk to me about your parents. They're both alive. He said, many Haitian people have children in orphanages, that the only way they can survive is the orphanage is the only hope that they have. And I went back to the marketplace. And my interpreter had told me, he said, don't you make the deal. When they find out you're not Haitian, they're jacking the price way up. He said, stay in the cab and let me make the deal. And I said, okay, that's wisdom. And he went over there, and we bought rice for these children after I had visited this place. And when he came back with the rice, I said, that's not enough. I need twice as much. But because I'm the seed of Abraham, I said, look, I want you to go back and renegotiate the deal for me. I need twice as much, but I don't want to pay as much as I did. How many know if you buy more, you ought to be able to pay less? So he went back to the lady, and she had this big bag of rice that she used, and she kept it between her legs there, and she had this big can, and she set the can down in the rice. And when he went to make another deal, he said to me as he came back, he said, she said she will sell you more rice at the same price. But instead of giving you a measure, she said she would give you a good measure. And I said, show me what you're talking about. And this time she set the can down in the rice as she did before. And this time she filled it up. But instead of taking her machete and leveling it off, she heaped it up. That's the way God wants to bless you. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down. The anointing of God came upon me because I'd never heard that before except in that scripture. And God showed me a vision. And in the vision, I was there holding a bag of potato chips up. And in the vision, I was holding it up against the silhouette of the sun, and I could see the shadow of the chips in the bag. And I had the back of the bag to me, and it said, some settling of contents may have occurred during shipping. And they put it on there to let you know that when this bag left the factory, it was full, but along the way, it may have gotten shaken together. And God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And God said, I won't seal the bag. I'll let it run over. That's how he wants to get it back into your hands. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had known then what I know now. Because time is a factor. I'm so glad that I serve a God that can redeem the time. So I stopped by to tell some of you old heads, it's not too late for you either. God will bless you. And he'll give you back. He says, I will restore unto you the years. Here's the next thing, young people. You got to get this one. Learn to forgive right now. No matter what your friends do to you, no matter what your teachers, learn to forgive. Forgiveness is one of the keys to your blessing. When folks do you wrong, don't hold it. Let it go. And children don't have a problem with that. Let me move over here. Learn. To forgive. I could show you in the Bible, but can I quote Teddy real quick? I think you better let it go. Because it looks like another love. It will knock you out of blessing. It will knock you out of your relationship with God. No matter what you do to me, it's not worth my relationship with God. I can't afford to have my prayers hindered. I love the Lord too much. I appreciate walking in his anointing too much. I gotta forgive you. It even told us married folk, don't let the sun go down. So don't just let it go. Let it go quickly. Learn to forgive. I only have two more that I want to include. I want to stay on their time frame. And it was so wonderful what they have done so far. Have you been blessed by these young people so far? We're not going to snap this time. Here's the last two. Learn to tithe now. One of the things that's attached to tithing is the ability to call those things which be not as though they were faith is that thing that's attached to the covenant of Abraham. And the word says, if you're going to be blessed with faithful Abraham, you must do the works of faithful Abraham. And Abraham was a tither. Now, let me understand. The tithe is before you buy the candy. The tithe is before you buy the iPod. The tithe is before you buy the tennis shoes. Now, what I'm about to say you may not like, but it's going to help somebody. Young people, y'all may not like this, but I learned not to just give my children allowance. I bless them all the time. But I also have taught them the value of working for what you get. And I think it's a responsibility of the parents to teach the young people that you got chores to do. You got assignments. Come on. And if you do them well, pay them well, because whatsoever a man soweth. You wondering why some of y'all not blessed? You not paying your children. Oh. Says, I was with you a minute ago, but you're meddling now. Listen to me. Children, learn to forgive your parents. Even when they mess up. Learn to forgive. But now, when you tithe, put God first. Put God first. Set it aside. How many of y'all would like to be able to drive the kind of car you want? You may not ever have a hit CD. You don't have to gang bang to be blessed. God's got a way. And if you'll do it God's way, and the first tenth, that means a dime out of every dollar. And if you start putting it aside right now and say, when I go to church, I'm going to tithe. And then when you get here, start worshiping God with it. I don't have time to deal with it. It's in that CD back there. But just start worshiping the Lord with it. And when praise and worship come, get your tithe money out and say, God, I'm born again. I was on my way to hell, but you saved me. You healed me. You delivered me. And the tithe is designed to remind you that you were a sinner. But now you have been saved by grace. And the tithe says, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I know some of y'all grown folks don't like this, but I want to remind you, he left you 90% greedy. When you are in a church like New Life, you got to understand, the tithe is an investment in your young people. You're all about to take on the theme of the Jeffersons. Now somebody get that on the way home. See, they don't know nothing about the Jeffersons. That was gone when they came along. But we know something about it. We're moving on up. And when you tithe, because this is a church that has a heart for youth, it's an investment in your young people. And even though you may not love the Lord enough to give him the first tenth, you ought to at least love your children enough to give God the first 10%. And you're going to see blessing flow your way. And the day will come that you'll say, God, slow down. I don't have enough room. Where am I going to park all these cars? I don't have enough closet space for even my shoes. Come on, ladies. I ought to got a shout out of somebody. Hallelujah. Learn to tithe now. I wish I had known then what I know now. Here's the final one. Learn how to decree right now. What does decree mean? Learn how to say what you want. But as a king and a priest, you decree a thing. The Bible says, and it shall be established. Watch the words that are coming out of your mouth. Right. Amen. Amen. Because what you say about you makes all the difference. Yeah. Do I have a witness? And one of the things that you need to decree is this. In this age of gang violence, one of the things as a believer that you can decree is this. No man take my life, but I lay it down. See, if Jesus said it, you can say it. Do I have a witness in here? I ought to have somebody on this side to back me up on this because, hallelujah, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. You need to say, no man take my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I'll pick it back up again. Hallelujah. They won't be able to take you out. In the name of Jesus, God will move you around that stuff, protect you. And when you have this little feeling that maybe I shouldn't go to the mall, maybe I shouldn't get in that car. As a believer, learn that that could be the voice of God trying to protect you and keep you from something. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. But the first declaration is this. I thank you that I'm born again. I thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And the Bible says, with long life will he satisfy you and show you his salvation. If you honor your father and your mother, you will live long and prosper. God will bless you. He'll bless you going out. Do I have a witness? He'll bless you coming in. Hallelujah. Because one of the things that some of these parents are looking for is grandchildren. Come on, y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. You want the name to keep on going, don't you? On planet Earth. Be a blessing to your children and teach them how to bless God. Hallelujah. Because I wish I had known then what I know now.